Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Book Bites for Kids from the National Writing for Children Center at www.writingforchildrencenter.com. This is your host, Suzanne Lorenz, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with children's author and, social worker, child
therapist.
Yes, okay. Don't know your exact title, but it's Teresa Ann Frazier, who's written a book called Billy Had to Move. Hi, Teresa.
Hello.
Thanks for being with us. Sorry I didn't get your exact job description here. You're such a jack of all trades. It's hard to tell what I introduced you as.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, now you said you're calling in from Ontario.
I am. I live in Ontario, Canada. I'm a practicing play therapist in Canada, and work with kids from, you know, little people two and up, all the way up to 18, and then I try as much as possible to work with families, whether it's biological families or kinship families, if kids are placed with grandparents or cousins or aunts and uncles, and as well as foster parents.
Right, yeah, well, families are just all variety of things these days, you know.
Absolutely, they sure are.
Yeah, so that's great that you're able to do that. And so I'm sure, is that what gave you the idea to write this book, Billy Had to Move?
It absolutely is, because I've worked in children's welfare for over 25 years and worked in foster care, and my experience with foster care, I have some personal experience as a little person who was in foster care for a period of time when my mother was ill when I was young, and then she got healthy again, and then my parents were able to themselves give back and become approved foster parents. So I have foster siblings, and then my husband and I fostered for about 20 years. So I'm really passionate about in making sure our foster care system is what it should be for kids, and always trying to look at how we can improve it.
Right, yeah, yeah, because it is an important thing for kids, although, you know, you hear horror stories sometimes where kids are in foster care and the care is not the greatest, and that always scares me a little bit. But you said in Canada you have sort of more safeguards for that kind of thing. Tell us about some of those.
Well, in every, just like in the States, every state operates quite independently. In Canada, we have provinces, and we, you know, the legislation can differ province to province, but there are some commonalities, and that is when a child is placed in a foster home, there's some limits around how many foster kids can be in the home. So in my province, the maximum is 4 foster kids can be in a home. Because you would hear horror stories of families having, you know, 9 or 10 kids, and you're thinking, wow, with kids coming to foster care with extensive attachment or trauma histories, they need lots of specialized care. So at the front end, the foster homes are screened very carefully, and there's lots of laws around what kind of training they need around not only good parenting, but understanding how trauma and attachment can affect kids' learning and behavior and ability to attach with caregivers. And there's a big thrust, not only in Canada, in the States as well, to be supporting biological families, because as much as possible, we want kids to be at home with their families or with, you know, other extended family members where possible. So it's changed a lot in 20 years. It's not so much, you know, scoop the kids and put them somewhere and then, you know, no one checks and sees how they are. There's, you know, a worker should be visiting the child within the first 7 days and then at least monthly thereafter, and also meet with the child privately and meet with the child's school. So at least in Canada, we know those safeguards are in place to make sure that kids are getting really great care, which motivated me to write this book, because we do hear so many horror stories in the news about kids not getting the care they deserve.
Abuse, not just the care.
And being abused, as well, and abused in many horrific, long-standing ways, and, you know, no one noticing, you know, forever, and that's just not acceptable. But I see lots of wonderful, positive foster care stories, and when in my work with kids as a therapist, the other piece is if, say, a child is apprehended at from school and goes to a foster home, it's often confidential. And then you think, well, there's the other 19 kids in that class that are grieving the loss of their little buddy and know the child's gone to a foster home but doesn't know what that means. So I wrote Billy Had to Move. Initially, I've used parts of that story in therapy with kids to help normalize their experience. And then I was at an international play study group organized by esteemed therapist Dr. Charles Schaefer of New York, who is the president emeritus of the Association for Play Therapy in the States. And he gathers professionals from about 30 people from around the world to look at research and play therapy techniques, and for 2 weeks for 10 years he's been doing this. This will be the last year coming. And I was invited and was chatting with a therapist from New Zealand by the name of Dr. Steve Harvey. And he said, and we were talking, and he said, well, why don't you see about getting that published? And I was like, well, I use it with my clients. I don't know if anybody'd want to publish it. And he said,
wow.
Oh, I bet they would. Mm-hmm. So I came back from England, and the day after I came back, I started looking at, I'd been researching publishers before, and my publisher, Loving Healing Press, published a lot of wonderful books for children, and I thought, I'll send it and see what the publisher says. And the very same day, the publisher emailed back and said, I really want to publish this book. I was like, wow, that's so lovely.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the journey.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Now, in that story, it's called Billy Had to Move, and it's a little misleading in the sense of if you think it's just a regular children's book about a kid who's got to move, because Billy he's not moving with his family when he's in school, when he's living with his grandmother already because of his mom not being able to take care of him. And then when he's here at school one day, the principal calls him and he goes in, and a man's there to let him know that his grandmother has died, and since they don't know where his mother is or whatever, I forget exactly.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Okay. Then he has to go stay with someone else, and it's a foster parent, a foster family that he doesn't even know. And gosh, when I was reading that, you know, I've fortunately had a wonderful family growing up, and I can remember just going to, when I was little, having to go to like a daycare center for babysitting at night. My parents went to the movie or something, and they took us to this place where we stayed, and I just felt, I don't know, alienated and isolated and all these kind of things, and how dare my parents take me to this place for this evening when they were out having a good time. So I just thought, how would a child feel when you're put somewhere to live and you don't know anybody there, no family, nobody, it's just you, and this is where you've got to live from now on.
Yeah, and it's very traumatic.
I'm sure. And
I think sometimes those of us in the child welfare field, we understand that, but then we sometimes forget when you're used to, you know, this becomes, you know, kids get placed every day in foster care. But absolutely it is. And that was kind of why I spent so much time at the beginning of the book trying to describe what it was like for him in terms of what he's seeing, what he's hearing, what he was worried about from a child's perspective. And
Everything from he has a pet, and now what happens to his pet?
Yeah.
He can't take the pet with him.
Yeah, absolutely. And the social worker packing up his items. I know with one of our foster sons, when he showed up, all he had was what was in a little plastic bag. But really, that's all he owned. So when he came, now he'll say, when his stuff's all over his bedroom, and I'll say, it'd be really good to see the floor at least one day. And he'd go, remember when I had nothing? And I was like, yeah, I do. I remember when you didn't have anything. So in Billy's case, he came to the situation because his grandmother died, and he knew what a social worker was. So the reader can tell looking at the book that he's had some contact with child welfare workers before, which kind of alludes to the fact that mom has some issues, and that's why she's not around. But kids come into foster care for many reasons, and that is one of them, that, you know, a family member dies and they can't locate other suitable people to provide care, or unfortunately all the other things we hear about, extreme abuse, and kids need to be apprehended to kind of investigate more what else is going on, and if possible, can supports be provided to the family so that the kids can get back home. And in Billy's case, the other piece that I think is really important for kids in foster care when they're waiting for, you know, what is the plan going to be every day is kind of an unknown. Is a social worker coming to tell me they found my mom? Am I going to get to go home? Am I allowed to give my heart a little bit to these people? Because if I'm leaving tomorrow, I'm not sure I want to do that.
Right.
And that's a tough position for adults to be in, let alone, you know, I equate it with parents that can imagine your job where you don't know if you're going to be working there tomorrow or not. And for little kids, it's, you know, is this going to be an okay place to be?
I just think it's got to be terribly frightening for children. One thing I thought this book brought out that was real interesting, and I hadn't seen in other books before, was when Billy stays with this new family now, they're very sensitive to the fact that, you know, he's going through some tough times and has some tough issues to deal with.
Yeah.
And so he gets therapy this play therapy, you call it, and he's doing it here with sand, I think, talking to the therapist. So, you know, that's not a thing that you hear a lot about either, that if kids go to go to foster care, there is therapy available for them as well.
Yeah, and you know, you're so right, Suzanne, you picked up on that, because sometimes that intervention doesn't always get put into place right away because, again, first of all, are the kids in a place of safety? How long are they going to be there? Do you want to introduce another adult into their lives that they may only see once or twice? So, and if we had, in this particular book, obviously, the adults in the situation, because they've known Mom before, I think there's some, there's kind of an inference that they know this is not going to be a quick placement. It's going to be a little bit more long-term.
Right.
But from the kid's perspective, you know, I wanted to try and illustrate that he didn't know that, to kind of normalize that story for other kids that are in that situation. But my experience in Canada is that was how the program that I help build is called Branching Out, and I initially was working in a treatment foster care program as a caseworker like Mr. Murphy, and would get very frustrated that we couldn't access services for kids who were clearly traumatized, and because they weren't necessarily living in the area where they may have grown up in, the local services would say, well, they're not from here, we can't provide service, but then the area where they came from would say, well, they're not in the area right now, we can't provide service. So my director, Jim Lewis, said, this isn't okay. We need to do better. So myself and a colleague went back to school to become trained play therapists. And then we started, then other agencies were contacting us and saying, hey, we need to get these services too and we can't access them. So then the additional program called Branching Out got started and is going, you know, we've been alive and well for 5 years. And we're providing service to lots of foster kids, but also kids in adoptive placements where there's at risk of them, those placements breaking down.
Gosh, congratulations. That's wonderful you're able to do that, and that you kind of went the extra mile to just not be complacent and think, well, gosh, there isn't anything we can do. I think that's one thing, too. There most usually is something we can do about things.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you know,
and sometimes as a play therapist, my role may be just to support the foster parent to help them notice all the important things like Billy's foster mom noticed, what they need to help them feel safe and a little bit more comfortable within the situation.
Right, yeah. And I was reading, let's tell people about your website because you've got information about the book here, and I think that's where I was reading about how the book can be used. I mean, it's not a typical genre book in the sense of it's not exactly a picture book, even though it does have a lot of pictures because the text is too long for traditional picture book.
Yeah.
But it's also not a middle grade reader, or it's not an early chapter book, any of those kinds of things. And it's really not intended to be just a story you read to kids so much as a book that can be used for I don't know, caseworkers, parents, anyone who's in a situation, to make children who are in the situation feel a little more comfortable because they understand that they're not the only one going through this. You know, here's some of the ways you feel. So,
and I think Victor Volkman, who's the editor of Loving Healing Press, like what an amazing man he is to support this, because you're right, it is a little different than the normal children's book, and that's why it's called a bibliotherapy book. So it's the purpose is that an adult would sit down with a child or a group of children and perhaps not read it all at one sitting, just the first little bits and then the next little bit, or perhaps even adapt a little bit to make it more in keeping with the experience of the child or the children that they're reading the book to. But there's a little bit about grief and loss. There's a little bit about foster care and how that can be positive, even though obviously it's scary and it is traumatic for kids to move from one living situation to another. And then also the little bit about play therapy, because for many people they go, play therapy, like what's that? And play therapy for kids is for adults. We can sit down and talk about what's going on, and sometimes kids can't find the words. So play therapy, and there's many different types of play therapy that people can utilize, therapists will utilize, depending on what the issues are. And Santra is only one. In Billy's case, it was, and my experience with children is, sometimes I'll be doing therapy with a child and I think, wow, are we really getting anywhere? And then boom, you know, the child really, I always have to trust the process and the child will bring up what the issues are that they, that really have been concerning and bothering them. And then we can actually start working on them.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell people your website address so they can go there and learn more about this.
Sure, I will. My website address is www.teresafraser.com, and it's Teresa with an H, so TheresaFraser.com. And on that website, there's some information about foster care, information about Billy, some reviews that folks have kindly written, and a little bit, some information about play therapy and Santra therapy.
That was fascinating to me because I taught preschool and worked in daycares, and then I was a high school teacher for so many years. And, you know, play is such an important part of work for little kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you learn so much of their...
By watching.
Their minds and their emotions by what they say to you. Like, I'm not a trained therapist by any means, but I used to draw with the children. I used to just love to roll out a big thing of butcher paper and give everybody crayons, and I'd lie on the floor with them too. And we're just going to paint, and we'd be drawing, and we'd be painting with crayons. And I remember one time we painted this scene of a playground and stuff, and this one little girl put two or three sons in the picture, and another kid got really upset because he goes, "What are you doing? You've got so many sunshines in your sons in your work." And I said, "Well, Nicole, how come you drew so many sons?" And she said, "It was a very sunny day."
Aww.
And I just thought, you know, that made perfect sense when she said that.
Yeah, and it showed a lot about where she was at.
Right, that's
so true. And Santra can do the very same thing. It's really a passion of mine in my work because my mentor is in California. Her name is Dr. Gisela Shubhakti Domenico, and it's a very long 6-year training program, and her belief really is that if we are there to support kids and be their witness, they will tell their story. So kids who may not share the same language as the therapist, kids who may not be able to verbalize how they're feeling, they can pick images from the shelves and create a story in the sand tray, and it becomes a very powerful narrative about what's going on and how they're feeling. So
I used to love to look at their drawings and just see what, you know, who would paint all in black and white or just in a black coloring, who would do a color, just all kinds of different things, not to you know, analyze them so much, but just to see, wow, you know, this is interesting the way this child is seeing the world or seeing his or her family, that kind of thing. Well, hold on just a minute. We're going to take a short little break, and we will be right back.
All righty.
Authors Read is a 15-minute radio program featuring authors, storytellers, and poets reading from their published work. There's nothing like hearing a story told the way the writer intended it to be read, straight from the writer's lips. For more information and archive shows, go to www.brummett.ca. That's brummett.ca.
Hi, I'm Harold Sutton, host for the radio show Songs in the Night, heard Monday evening to 6 o'clock p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. I'd like to invite you to join us as we share inspirational stories and inspirational music to uplift, encourage, to give hope to those who are challenged in their struggles, whether in relationship, addiction, finances, health, or depression. And we also have great guests that come by and visit us. So, why don't you visit us on Mondays, 6 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, I'm Harold Sutton, your host for Songs in the Night.
And we are are back. Today I'm speaking with Teresa Ann Frazier about her book, Billy Had to Move. Now, you described this book as bibliotherapy a few moments ago. I'd never heard of that before. Is this something new, or has that been around for a while?
It's been around for a while, and it's the use of narratives and storybooks to help normalize children's feelings and of issues that they're experiencing to help them process those and deal with those.
Mm-hmm.
A bibliotherapy book would not be a book you would just hand to a child and say, here, read that, and then let's talk about it. So
mm-hmm.
it's the adult is involved supporting because often the content of the story can be triggering and maybe challenging for the child to be able to process some of the information
mm-hmm.
in, which
so
is could
the,
be the case.
Well, does the adult then reading the book to the child need to be trained in how to do this?
No, with Billy, I wrote it for foster parents or teachers or
mm-hmm.
therapists to use, and in the foreword talk about how you could read it through and then adapt it to take the information that's applicable for the children you're working with, because
mm-hmm.
it is, you're right, you noted earlier in our interview, it is quite a long story.
Mm-hmm.
I had some really great news this week. The local Kiwanis Club here, which is a service club for the benefit of children in my part of Ontario, read the book, found the book, and are going to support it by supplying a library at every school in my hometown with a copy of Billy Had to Move. So the teachers or the librarian can share the story with kids, because many in Canada, there's over 80,000 children in foster care. I don't know the stats in the States because they're not federally followed at state by state, but a lot of kids are affected by foster care. So whether it's foster children or, you know, the children of foster parents or other, you know, kids who love kids that have gone into foster care
mm-hmm.
and wonder what's going on. And then the other thing I thought of in the break, Suzanne, if any of your readers are interested in finding out more about play therapy, they can Google in the States the Association for Play Therapy, and their website has lots of information as well as places where you can find a local play therapist all across the U.S., and in Canada, we have the Canadian Association for Play Therapy with similar information.
Mm. Now, with the play therapy, what age child does that go up to usually?
It would depend on the therapist, what their expertise is, and what it, perhaps what the philosophy of the agency is that's providing the service. My program, we believe play therapy can help kids, you know, right up to adults. And then when I do family work, I use play therapy techniques. So we're using play to help families work out issues and identify, you know, how family roles, problem solving, anger management, conflict resolution, and you're using some of the same techniques within the family instead of just doing talk therapy with a family.
Right, yeah. Well, that's great. Gosh.
Yeah,
now, I have a question about when you're marketing a book like this, because I know many people who, you know, have a book that has a specific, you know, kind of purpose like this book has, that maybe it's not just the mainstream thing where you put it in the bookstore and help people buy it.
Yeah.
So how do you market a book like this?
Oh, it's so challenging because you're right. It really is. I'm focusing on a specific market, and you're right. The title, Billy Had to Move, we've actually adapted, I think, the second run will Billy Had to Move, a foster care story, so that's a little bit clearer for readers. Up to this point, I've done interviews as well. I have another one that's happening in Canada here tomorrow. I'm also a college professor. So I'm on a part-time basis, so I take, you know, I talk about bibliotherapy with students and show this as an example, and I do a lot of conference workshops where I'm doing training, and then I'll talk to people about Billy. And then in Canada, I've done advertising with, like, Child and Youth Worker Associations, which is a specific profession in Canada of individuals that work with kids and families who have emotional and behavioral issues going on, so because they can also use this book. And my publisher, Victor Volkman, and other writers that have been published from that publishing house, we share ideas and resources and try to just let conferences that are of applicable interest know that this book's available. So in the fall, in October, the Association for Play Therapy has a yearly conference, and I know there's a couple vendors that are going to be carrying it. Hopefully, other therapists will see it and say, hey, that's something that would be helpful to have in my office.
Oh, yeah, I would think that would be great if you can get it into the right hands. It should be a really big seller for the particular market. You know?
It's really a word of mouth, and that's the challenge, isn't it? when you have a niche market. Right. So, but I really appreciate you offering to have me on your show to talk about the book, and I try with the website to update it as much as possible and let people know that it's there.
Oh, sure, yeah. Now, will you make school visits? Because I could see this being something that you could talk to kids about in terms of, I would think, other issues could come into play. Kids bullying kids who are in foster care if they say, well, you don't have a family or you're this or that. And if you make those other children aware of how, well, you know, this is what it's like to have another family or some, I don't know exactly how you do it.
No, absolutely. I'm absolutely able to make school visits and have offered. I just... I'm finalizing some of that stuff. The agency that I work for, also in the province of Ontario, the Ministry of Education has endorsed our programs to be for anti-bullying programs and friendship programs in schools. So we do go out and do school visits, and then I'll let the staff know that it's available. So it's slow, but I think it's little by little as people are aware of it. My vision would be that I would have there'd be one in every library, that. From now, any teacher can pick that up and go, oh, this would be really helpful to help my class understand why, you know, our Billy isn't in class now. To help so we can encourage kids not to bully kids that are in foster care or say things. And often kids, it's not that they're purposefully saying things, I think it's just they don't really understand what that means. So it's about education, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, what about, I was just thinking, if I were a teacher, and of course I always thought I was pretty good at eliciting questions from kids or asking them questions and things, but could you put, I mean, because I was looking through the book to see if you had a list of specific questions or things that could be used.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That would be a great thing. Yeah.
If you could just put a page of those up on your site.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, teacher's guide or something. I would love to have that with it if I were going to use it in the classroom.
Oh, thank you, Suzanne, for that feedback. I'm going to do that because you're so right. Someone else may approach that and go, gee, I'm not sure how to get the conversation going in a safe and productive way.
I'd love to have the knowledge that someone like you, a professional, is going to help me lead the children in the right direction here when I'm talking about it.
Oh, thank you so much. I will absolutely do that so your readers can look forward to finding that.
Great. Good. Okay. So we'll look for it up at teresafraser.com. That'll be wonderful. So then it sounds like you put this book together over the course of working with your own clients and children in care. So it wasn't something you just sat down at one time and wrote. So how long a process was this then to get the whole thing going?
Well, I've done bits and you're right. I did bits and pieces using with clients, and then actually sat down over a period of a month, I think, and went, okay, I'm going to take this piece and this piece and this piece, and let's make this into a formalized story. And then that's what I did. And then a lot, of course, as tons of editing. So you always have go back to it and you know have I also use had my children we have six boys from age 21 down to 7 a mixture of foster, adopted, and biological, and I asked their input too. What do you think? Does this make sense? Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? So they really became my first editing team.
You mean you live with six boys?
Yeah, I do.
Oh my goodness!
And I have to tell your listeners here at 3 o'clock the kids get home from school, and my husband said, "Okay, boys, when you come home from school today, we got to try and be just a little quieter because mommy's going to be on the phone." So I'm actually doing this interview at home in a lower level of the house, and they've just been so wonderful trying to be quiet.
Oh my goodness, I can't imagine. I had two boys, and trying to keep them quiet when they were small was almost an impossible task.
Oh, they're lovely. They're angels.
To do this with six, that's amazing. Well, gosh, we only have 1 minute left. I could talk to you about this forever. There's just so many things. So let's just give listeners, I mean, if they know that they have something like this that may not fit in a traditional genre, or traditional way that you're going to market it, what would you suggest they do?
Well, I think the best tip is write what you know. And then research if you have specific books you like to read, find out who publishes that type of book and approach that publisher, because they're likely going to be interested in publishing similar genre type books, and that may be a really good first step, and then do lots of listening for feedback about what they can do to have their product able to be printed. In this case, I would have loved to have done more illustrations if I could do anything differently, that's what I would do.
Now, did you find the illustrator for this, or did they?
Well, my publisher suggested some people, and then we went from, you know, back, you know, someone else recommended someone else until I found Alex Walton, and mm-hmm. he also has a website, and he has illustrated a variety of books. And his website is www.waltonillustrations.com. Mm-hmm. And he just did a really lovely, I really wanted to find an illustrator that would make the pictures realistic. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't cartoonish.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And he did that in a lovely, and it's actually, I sent pictures of our youngest son. And so Billy is kind of formatted on my youngest son, so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, again, that book is called Billy Had to Move, and you are retitling it Billy Had to Move, A
Foster Care Story.
A Foster Care Story by Teresa A. Fraser, F-R-A-S-E-R. And if they just go to Teresa, T-H-E-R-E-S-A, Fraser, F-R-A-S-E-R.com, they can learn more about the book, or go to Loving Healing Press, and you can find out about it, too. So, well, good luck with this. It just is a wonderful thing that you're doing. And, you know, come back and talk to us sometime on Book Bites for Kids.
Well, thank you, Suzanne. I appreciate your feedback. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.